This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on an overreaction Monday. Presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. With you till 6 p.m. And once again, we have much to discuss this afternoon. Bear, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Bear sounding good in the Bears' den this afternoon. Hello, Jake Miller. How are you, sir?
Living the dream, Russ. How are you?
Doing all right. We all processed our emotions. I mean, 15 years in a row. I know it's getting old, but sadly, we're kind of getting used to it.
But when you have that just glimmer of hope for just a few minutes.
Yep. The door was cracked open. It was definitely cracked, but you look at the statistics. I mean, they were pretty dominant. But we continue to see positive signs of life in the Tennessee football program under Josh Heupel's direction, and we're going to dissect that here this afternoon. You guys ready to start with five things I want to see?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Let's grade this out. Number one, that Rashawn Golden attitude. DGAF. Did we see that from the Vols?
That's a tough one.
It's hard to quantify, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Well, you saw it from Jeremy Banks.
I'm tempted to give it to him.
Especially after the game when Toa Toa was yelling for him and he wouldn't even go over and shake his hand.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put his helmet back on and walked off.
Kind of like that guy. I kind of like him. I know he's a meathead.
He giveth and he taketh away, but I know. You can't help but to like him.
He's our best linebacker, which is not saying much, but I still think he's got some positive attributes. I'm giving him the golden attitude, Bear. I think we had it the other night.
All right.
Number two, opportunities taken advantage of, particularly big pass plays. Well, that's another one that, I mean, like – the pass play thing, you got to give them to, but there were also a lot of opportunities that were not taken advantage of.
Kind of squandered the block punt.
Yeah, that's the one that kind of stands out.
You got to score a touchdown when that happens.
We squandered the fumble.
I'm blanking. What happened to the fumble there?
The one that Kenny George recovered.
Yeah. You got to do something with those. I know we hit several.
That was
big
the one
passes.
Time the refs did exert their. I'm not going to say the refs didn't cost us the game the other night.
No,
they missed some calls. They're very similar to a Blount County officiated game. They do just enough when Alabama's in trouble.
Now I know we hit three big pass plays, but I got to say no. I don't think we took advantage of opportunities. Not enough.
All right.
Number three, clean up the special teams.
We didn't muff any punts.
No.
And blocked a kick.
Made a field goal.
No kickoff blunders.
They missed a field goal. Sure, I guess like we didn't do anything much to impact that. But, I got to give them that. Number four,
Alrighty.
Quarterback protection. How many sacks did we give up?
quite a few.
Yeah.
I want to.
We didn't protect them very good.
We didn't?
No.
They're pretty fierce. They're pretty fierce. But, yeah, somebody let me know how many sacks we get. I mean, we led the league in sacks given up coming into this game, and I'm sure that is the same after Saturday night. So, okay, we're not giving them that one. And then number five, no more injuries. I know we had guys down left and right. I think a lot of those were just gamesmanship type things. I know Tyler Barron's.
We got Bumpus. But he's kind of been dinged all year.
He and Tyler Barron, you know, they play every game. They go down every game. I think they're just battling through painful injuries.
We gave up three sacks. Yeah.
Three sacks? That's not is it bad. It's not as bad as it felt like. It's a lot of
pressure. There's some others, though, throughout the game where technically they weren't sacks because he gained maybe a yard or so, maybe true. Two. But – I mean, essentially they're sacks. He got flushed out of the pocket and then ran down. So, but I think we'd all agree that he wasn't anywhere near 100%.
All right, so we're giving them at least two out of three, the golden attitude, clean up the special teams.
Mm-hmm.
No more injuries. I kind of give them that. I mean, we don't know what – I know Tyon limped off the field, but he came back and played. So I don't really know what his – situation is. Cooper Mays played and was visibly gimpy. He's out there hobbling around, but he finished the game. So
I'd have him sleeping in a hyperbaric chamber until Kentucky.
Yeah. Yep. Indeed. All right. So we give them three out of five. And yet we still lost 52-24.
That's a problem when you're playing Alabama. You got to get five out of five and some breaks.
No room for error.
Well, they scored 28 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And I picked Bama 41-24, so I got our portion of that right. But closer than that score would indicate, I think we all realize that. But in some ways, you know, you feel like the gap might have closed a little bit, but still just miles away from those guys. So – here we are, the off week. No game this week. A chance to rest up, get some guys healthy, and a huge game coming up in 2 weeks at Kentucky. We will go through the rest of those injuries coming up on your Rocky Top Report here in just a minute. So, Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. You guys know what we do throughout football season. Mondays on the show, we have no guests scheduled to join. We want to take as many of your phone calls as possible. Let's go ahead and load them up. 865-546-8200. Your number to hop on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. They'll be open all day. 546-8200. Your number to get on board. We're presented, as I said, by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Two locations now here in the East Tennessee area. You've got the original on Bearden Hill right next to Soccer Taco and the all-new location in Blount County on Gill Street in Alcoa. Not only can you go and get a phone exchange for cheaper than you will anywhere else, you can also sell your old phones and tablets and devices to the phone exchange. So if you've got an old cell phone laying around your house, you've got an old iPad, something like that, take it up to the phone exchange and they will buy it from you. You will walk out of there a richer man. All right, let's load them up. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back with your Rocky Top Report coming up next here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Winning season returns at my...
Rocky Top Report, brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Tennessee enters the off week. Going to get here soon enough. Vols will have the day off today. They'll practice tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, and good opportunity for younger players who might have been kind of buried on the depth chart to get a chance. And, of course, those guys who are banged up will get a lot of rest this week. Hendon Hooker looked all right. I mean, I don't think he's 100% out there the other night. If you looked closely, you could see a pretty big brace on that right knee. Hopefully, he's closer to 100% for the Kentucky game because we're going to need him to be able to cut it loose against the Wildcats for a chance to win there.
Indeed.
Yep.
Tyon Evans played, came out for a little bit, looked hobbled, but again, finished the game. So, you know, hopefully he continues to heal. Then Cade Mays, what will his status be? It looked like another high ankle sprain there. Can he recover in 3 weeks well enough to get out there and play Kentucky?
And that's going to be the $64,000 question between now and kickoff.
Can we beat Kentucky without him? I thought, you know, we talked about the pass protection issues in our first segment there, and I thought that was a big part of it. It seemed like a lot of it was coming from that right side. Kentucky, very good up front as well. Can Tennessee win without him?
I mean, I think you can, but it's not going to be in the same fashion that you would if he were there. I mean, obviously, who's going to be in his position? Dane Davis?
Yeah. And as you said,
it's going to be hard.
As you were saying during the break, Jake, we didn't see Jacob Warren a lot. I noticed him out there a good bit. It seemed like they were using him to help out on that right side of the line. And that probably affected some of our opportunities in the pass game when you have to commit extra guys to help your beaten up offensive line, then that's one less guy out in the pass pattern for Hooker to choose from.
Well, now that you mentioned that, you know, now that I think about it, he didn't really get much target, like many targets at all during the game from Hooker.
No, he had
one drop.
He had
pass.
One. It was kind of thrown behind him. It was right after the blocked punt, right?
Yeah.
It was the first down play. We threw to him, and I felt like it was kind of behind him, but he got his hands on it. He'd probably tell you he should have caught it. But alas, he did not. Tennessee's defense plummeting in the total defense rankings. Remember, we were so excited about Tim Banks. Had Tennessee top 50, maybe top 40 at one point in total defense.
Yeah.
After surrendering over 500 yards to the Tide, Tennessee now ranks 80th nationally in total defense, giving up 394 yards a game.
Yeah, it's not good, Bob.
No, not great. Trending back towards what we kind of thought they would be. Now, Kentucky is, I won't say middling offense. Yeah, they're interesting. They probably should be a little bit better statistically than they are. And then, obviously, Georgia's going to be very difficult. But then you play Alabama and South Alabama and Vanderbilt. Those last two games should be an opportunity to really hold them down and maybe raise that ranking up a little bit. But I thought it was pretty glaring we need more players, particularly at the linebacker position. It was exposed pretty good Saturday by the Tide.
Yeah, it was very obvious.
Basketball news. Tennessee had their scrimmage over the weekend against Davidson. You can talk about all these preseason rankings. AP had us, what, 18th?
18th.
Coming into the country, into the season. Picked to finish fourth by the SEC's media last week in the league. Well, the Oracle has spoken. KenPom is out with his initial rankings for the season today, and he has Tennessee 14th nationally, first in the SEC.
Really? KenPom does?
Yep. Huh. You analytics junkies. I mean, KenPom, I've always said he is the guy to go to, not the SEC writers and SEC media. Those guys don't know what they're talking about. They're just voting for Kentucky. You can guarantee those guys who voted in that poll last week have no idea. They don't even know who's on Kentucky's team, let alone Tennessee's team, let alone like the Missouris and South Carolinas of the world.
Probably don't realize.
Yeah,
they
don't know as much as KenPom. I know that.
No, they probably don't even realize they didn't even win 10 games last year.
Of course, KenPom probably doesn't know anything. He just dumped a bunch of numbers into a computer. That's what it spit out. But, hey, I'll take that computer.
We'll go with it.
Yeah, we'll run with that.
Yeah.
All right, that is the Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. The housing market continues to boom. It has been an unbelievable year in real estate here locally. There have been tons of people who have sold their homes and made a killing they never thought possible. Well, these conditions will not last forever. Nothing lasts forever, even cold November rain. Axl Rose taught us that. And this housing market, these conditions will not last forever either. So if you want to take advantage now, if you want to get the most bang for your buck out of your home, call my friend Bo Kregner. He's been doing real estate here in East Tennessee forever. Nobody knows the market like he does. He knows exactly what you can get for your home, what to list it for so that it sells quickly, you make your cash, and you move on. 865-742-1035 is his number. You can visit him online at boknowshouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Another sad note. It is the Rocky Top Report, so, I mean, have to mention, lost a musical icon over the weekend.
One of the Osborne brothers?
Sonny Osborne. One half of the Osborne brothers with his brother Bobby. Passed away, had a stroke yesterday, age of 83. Good life, well lived. And I think Bobby's still, he's still out there kicking. So thoughts and prayers to the Osborne brothers. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show this afternoon. 865-546-8200 if you want to hop on Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange. Boy, speaking of the analytics, Dave Bartu, who we're trying to get on the show this week, you want to talk about
accurate.
Being an oracle, man, he nailed it. I did not see this until after the game. I saw his tweet that he posted before the game, and then I went back and listened to his weekly podcast where he previews all the SEC games, and the accuracy with which he predicted the Tennessee-Bama game, it was almost kind of eerie. It's like, dude, are you a time traveler? Are you Marty McFly in Back to the Future 2? Have you already seen this game? It was weird, dude. So here was the tweet. Vols number one offensive SE, I don't know what that means, in the FBS in quarter one, first quarter, and top 20 defense. Watch Tennessee jump to first quarter lead against Alabama. Defense faded to number 121 in quarter four, so hope for the lead and hang on to your butts. I mean, how much that's kind of the story of our season too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he pretty much nailed it.
And then I went back and listened to his podcast, and he just flat out said it occurred to him as he was going through the numbers. He's like, Tennessee, number one in the country in first quarter offense. He said, I'll say it, Tennessee will have the lead in the first quarter. And then you know what'll happen later on. It's like, damn, he's got a read.
I mean, it is what it is. We're very thin. And we ran out of gas again, which kind of leads me to my, do you think that Heupel should be doing more to protect the defense?
Like what? Playing slower offensively?
I mean, just, yeah. I mean, you've got the whole problem because I think the reason that we are so successful offensively is because we do play fast.
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of happy median in there.
Yeah, I don't think that he should play slower. I think there's a lot of things you can do. You got to be more efficient. You got to get better players, better depth and everything. You just got to get better at running your system. Like I don't think it serves him well. He's trying to establish the way he's going to run things, and if you change that up, then your guys aren't going to learn the way he wants to do things in the future.
Okay.
So that's kind of my feeling on it. I get where he's coming from, and I think he has every time Tennessee scores a quick touchdown in less than 90 seconds, you have a guy get hurt on the extra point attempt. Saturday night. They did one on a touchdown. They actually did it after the touchdown, which I think is smart because you do it after the extra point attempt, they just go to commercial break, and then you don't really add any time. But if you do it after the actual touchdown, it delays the extra point attempt, and then they have the break afterwards.
And then the quarter had ended as well.
So I think that's kind of what he's – that's where he's buying the time, which is maybe a little bit unethical, but I would just say –
I mean, it's not as bad as Kiffin and the floppers.
No. It's what he has to do to buy him some time. So I mean, I think it's cagey. It's a cagey way to buy some time for his defense to rest. I think the better thing to do would be to your first get better on third down on both sides of the ball. Like figure out how to make first downs on third and short, and then get off the field on third and long defensively. That's been a much bigger problem. If you do those things, I don't think that people are wondering why Tennessee is going fast, why they don't slow it down more.
Okay. I don't know.
We talk about the analytics of it a lot, and I think that nobody invests in that side of the science of it more than Alabama, and they know. I mean, hell, if we know, Tennessee likes to run that. They like to hit a big play on first down and then get up there, get up to the line quick, and run it. That's what we do, and have been doing it for a long time this season. Alabama sees that. The numbers bear that out. And when we get into those second one, third and one type situations, I mean, they were just keying on it. They knew not only that we were going to run the ball, they knew where we were going to run it. And so I think that you have to use some of this off week. Most coaches use an off week to do what they call self-scouting, where they go back and look at their own tendencies and say, all right, we're doing this too much, and we need to mix it up so that teams don't catch on to what we're doing. And I think that's one of the things they're going to have to see. I would love to have seen Tennessee run a little play action play on some of those third and ones that we couldn't convert in first half. Fake the handoff to where Alabama thinks it's going to go and then get Hooker on the outside of the pocket or just give him a real quick throw to a tight end or something over the middle, because it just feels like they had the book on Heupel a couple times. And that's the first time that we've really been able to say that this year.
Yeah, but he's finally built up enough, you know, there's enough game film on us. And like you said, Saban's got the budget and the analytics people sitting in offices just breaking down film to where it was easier for them after eight games of Heupel. I don't know. I mean, the whole problem with trying to run play action there is if you're not successful running the ball, and we weren't, then it's kind of hard to run the play action, in my experience.
Well, I mean, you gotta. I don't think that the run game was happening the other night. So
no, we only had 64 yards on the ground.
Yeah,
not with what's his name with Tyon Evans out or gimped, and then you know he tweaked it in the first half and. I still don't really understand why they brought him back in at the end of the game when, it was over.
What's it? Is it fair? What are some fair areas to criticize Josh Heupel in? And it's so frustrating, man. Like I said on Twitter during the game, and this is just my personal opinion. I could be wrong, but I said Heupel's had a really bad night on third down calls offensively. This night, I think that's something that a lot of people would agree with, but most people, there are a lot of others who are like, oh man, like he hasn't got any depth and, this is what do you want him to do? And all, and it's like, listen, nobody's calling for the guy's head. We like Heupel, think he's doing well overall. We're pulling for him. Nobody's perfect. I'm just making an observation. You know, that's what we do in the world of sports media. And, there are some areas that he's going to have to grow, right? I mean, like we said, nobody's perfect. This is, what, his fourth year as a head coach? He's going to have to get better at a couple of things if he's going to be able to win games against teams like that in the future. And it's great that he's already shown that he can beat the Missouris and South Carolinas handily in this world. That is a question mark a lot of us had coming into the season, and he's already pretty much answered that. Okay, that's fantastic. Looking down the road, once you do get your roster set up a little bit more the way you want to, how are you going to win these games? Nobody expected it the other night. It's fine. Nobody's calling for his head. But you have to learn these lessons about what you need to do differently because you're not playing in the AAC anymore. This is, you know, your big opponent there was South Florida or Cincinnati. Here it's Alabama and Georgia, and the lessons that you took from those other games in that other league don't necessarily translate when you're playing against teams full of dudes that are going to be playing on Sundays. Let's talk about that when we continue. Stay with us. It's The Drive, Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smoking Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Oh. Are moral victories for losers?
Yeah.
Are moral victories for losers?
There's a fundamental difference.
Okay.
There's what you call moral victories, and there's a difference between a moral victory and our fan base being a little bit enthusiastic or hopeful about the new staff.
Measuring success in ways other than wins and losses.
Yes. I'm not happy that we lost to Alabama for the 18th time or whatever the hell it was. I hate them. I wish the damn stadium would fall in down there.
No!
I hope Henry T. choked on that cigar.
Oh, come on. Don't say that.
I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel. I hate Alabama.
Feeling's mutual.
But there are a lot of things that we can take away from that game as we look forward to the future. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
So, you don't accept a moral victory, but what would you call it? Like, just that? Just recognizing?
Just having common sense and realizing that this is, I think we've seen enough so far this year to know that they're developing the kids. They're taking care of the kids. The kids aren't being screamed at and cussed out for, excuse me. For no reason. And, you can tell it's a better staff than definitely the Pruitt staff.
Did we see anything Saturday night that, you know, we like the big plays, we like the big offensive numbers, the tackles for loss and all that stuff. Did we see anything on Saturday night that's new? It's like, oh, that's – okay, this is better. Because here, just playing devil's advocate here a little bit, but we saw big plays against Alabama last year too. Jalen Hyatt had two big touchdown catches in that game. We've seen some of this stuff before. We like to gloss over it because we're in bash Pruitt mode, and this guy's the new exciting new thing. But it's not necessarily true all the time. We have seen signs of progress.
We scored more points against Alabama Saturday than we have in what, almost 20 years?
Since 2003, when we put up 43 when we beat them in five overtimes. Yeah, it's the most we scored since then. Another thing, Russ, too. Go ahead.
We don't quit. We've seen a lot of quitting the past 10 years on the field when games start to get out of hand. We run out of gas. There's a difference between running out of gas
okay.
and quitting.
Yeah. Well, and two, I mean, I think everybody can see it in Josh Heupel. Like, he cares. Like, it's not all about him like it has been with a few of the previous coaches. that are egotistical.
Saw some fire out of Coach Hype this week, finally.
That was awesome. That was incredible.
Little bad language from our head man.
Good. I'd have done the same thing.
Yeah, some frustration boiling over. I don't know that he had a great case on that goal line fumble, but
I don't know, man.
They should have thrown the beanbag.
You think he got it, Jake?
Here's the thing. He fumbled before the ball crossed the plane. We all saw that.
And that's what they said.
That's what they said, but they also said he recovered it.
Yeah.
But when he's laying there on the ground, I don't think he had possession of the ball once he fell on top of it because it pops out of his side. And then you're looking at the bottom of the pile. One of our guys has it, but those idiots down there turn all the lights out to where you can't see anything.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is that it was blown at the moment he fumbled. Beanbag should have been thrown. And at that point, it's whoever comes out of the pile with it. We came out of the pile with it. It's just, I mean, it's little, but you got to know that going into when you're playing down there. Like the referee turned his head when Malachi, whatever, I can't remember the kid's last name, launched himself like a Tomahawk cruise missile into Hendon Hooker's jaw.
That was bad.
Yeah, I thought that was the worst, quote-unquote, missed call of the game. Our moral victories for losers, 58 votes cast already at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 60.3% of the audience says yes. 39.7% say no. It's your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question of the day. And I am intensely jealous of Jake Miller this afternoon while I was dining on a cold lunch of peanut butter and jelly and raw broccoli. Jake Miller was hanging out up at the Ridge, Rickard Ridge Barbecue. What did you have, Jake? Go ahead. Hang on the rim for a minute.
Had the Piggy Mac, man. Had that nice white cheddar mac.
Oh.
Some pulled pork.
Oh.
Barbecue sauce drizzled over it, man.
Man. Fantastic. That's all?
That's all I had.
You're watching your weight a little bit, aren't you?
Didn't call us, Jake, to see if we wanted anything to go.
It was real early in the day. I didn't want to sit around for 4 hours. You have to have that stuff fresh. You have to.
Rickard Ridge Barbecue, online at rickardridgebbq.com. With the off week coming up, presents an excellent opportunity for you to grab the wife and kids or a couple of buddies. Text a buddy. Hey, we're going to Rickard Ridge. You want to go? Get in the car, take the quick drive up I-75 to beautiful Cove Lake State Park in Caryville. Right there, tucked just inside the entrance to the park, is Rickard Ridge Barbecue, the jewel of East Tennessee, home of the best ribs in the known universe. You're going to love Rickard Ridge. Go on up there this week or this weekend. Tell them Fan Run sent you. Try some of those fried pickles, one of my favorite appetizers. I love the baked beans. As a side, there's just something about the way they do them up there at Rickard Ridge. The new macaroni and the white sauce is pretty special.
Oh, it's delicious.
As Jake alluded to there. And, of course, you got the fried banana pudding
special.
Bites.
Special? That's kind of like saying Jennifer Aniston's kind of good looking.
How would you describe it? Special, I think, is a good – like it's we ambrosia. All want to be special. It's what?
It's like ambrosia.
Ambrosia?
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Look it up, buddy.
Ambrosia?
I'm pretty well
versed. Isn't that a noun?
No, it is not.
It's an adjective.
The thing that popped up for me.
I'm seeing ambrosia salad. What is ambrosia?
I'm seeing ambrosia pudding.
What are you talking about, dude?
It's incredible. Something that just tastes incredible.
He's trying to get out of this one. He realizes what he said makes absolutely
no I mean, I'm pretty well versed. I never heard that.
Well, y'all could both go to the hot place, but I just think you didn't do the Mac with the white cheese sauce.
Well, at least what I said makes sense.
It's the
English
gods,
language.
My man.
Ambrosia is an American variety or fruit salad that contains fresh pineapple, canned mandarin oranges.
Barnes & Noble?
Fresh oranges.
Worry about the levels, big boy. Leave the heavy lifting to me. I need you butting in an argument with me and Russ. She's trying to correct Russ's underselling the mac and cheese. That's why I go double now.
You say outstanding or excellent rather than just inventing a word. All right. Off to a flying start here on day one of another stellar week.
No, you guys just jumped down my throat. I was right.
How are you
in
right?
The ancient Greek myth, it's a food and drink of the Greek gods, often depicting as conferring longevity or immortality upon whoever consumed it, Russ. Yeah, I said it. Yeah. You eat the mac and cheese at Record Ridge, you're going to live longer.
Stay with us. The drive continues. More Fan Run Radio. Your phone calls coming up. No, I don't need to see that. Thank you.
Might need to see it.
No, I really don't.
I thought about it. I really did.
Great. Thank you. Welcome back. The drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Cruise along with you. It's Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. If you want to get on the G3 Help Me hotline, go ahead and take a shot. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Your number to get on the show this afternoon. One item I forgot to include on your Rocky Top report is we have some bowl projections coming out right now. And is it Dennis Dodd over at Jerry Palm. Dennis Dodd's on the list, but Jerry Palm is not. He's at CBSSports.com, and he has his weekly bowl projections out. I asked about this on Voluntary Reaction. Is there any way we could play Clemson in a bowl game?
Maybe so.
Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Jerry Palm has us playing them in Charlotte, the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Or associated with every condiment that I hate.
That's disgusting. But the chance to play Clemson would be a lot of fun. I mean, like, to beat their brains in, the Tony Elliott angle, the way they've totally stolen our swagger the last 10 years.
Stolen our recruits.
Or so, literally stealing our players to go in there. And you know, Heupel would.
Who'd they steal?
You know, yeah. I mean, do we have to go through the list?
T. Higgins, Amari Rodgers, Trevor Lawrence. Them.
They didn't steal them?
Man, we hired an idiot as a head coach.
I mean.
Who blew their recruitment. All three of them. Travis Etienne. Add him to the list.
I mean, they signed plenty of other excellent players from the Volunteer State. They should have played for Tennessee. But is there any doubt that Tennessee would absolutely boat race Clemson this year?
They'd have a hard time keeping up with us. Unless that crazy linebacker there's like took Hooker out.
Given an entire month to prepare, we could beat them with Joe Milton. We could absolutely boat race Clemson with Joe Milton. I believe that. You guys believe that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe Milton?
They suck, dude. They don't have a quarterback.
Ugalele.
Uyungalele.
I thought it was ukulele.
I finally learned how to pronounce this guy's.
I just call him DJ Ukulele.
I finally learned how to pronounce his name, and now he gets benched. And they've got another guy whose name is even harder to pronounce than that.
What's the new guy's name?
It's like Poithranam, or I don't know, man. He's got like some Indian name or something.
Parallelogram?
Something like that. I think he's a rhombus. Oh, I would love to play them. Would love to play them. And then the other projection I saw had us playing, I think, was it Georgia Tech? Maybe?
Which bowl was that?
I think of the Dukes. They're both in the Dukes Bowl. I'll have to pull these up for you. But, yeah, would love to play Clemson this year. I feel like that you talk about like a launch game, get you going in the right direction, really make a statement, kind of put Clemson back in their place. By the way, we'll do a message board meltdown recap for you coming up here in just a little bit. There's some good ones. And Clemson fans, not very happy with Dabo these days.
Really?
Yeah.
He's won them two national titles.
What have you done for me lately? I mean, Ed Ogeron won a natty 2 years ago. Look at him. He's on his way out.
I understand that one a little bit more than Dabo.
I mean, the reason that Ed O won them was because of Joe Burrow.
Boy, Joe Brady, they
got slapped around the other day.
Yeah.
Brian Harsin. Is this dude about to Rolovich himself down there at Auburn?
He very well might.
No, because he's winning. Alabama ain't Washington, dude.
Auburn has a vaccine mandate. Harsin was asked about it today, said he understands the mandate, but he is, quote, not going to be commenting on anybody's vaccine status.
Well, that's the difference between him and Rolovich. Rolovich said he didn't get it and wasn't going to get it and was seeking a medical or a religious exemption.
Yeah, I don't know if Auburn, I mean, are they going to make him show his card or something like that?
I have no idea.
It's the only way you can prove you're vaccinated, really.
It just seems like such a silly game for those guys to be playing and just concentrate on football. But, hey, what do I know? ESPN, a lot of analytics talk here in hour number one of the show. The ESPN FPI has Tennessee ranked 25th. In the country, ahead of Kentucky a couple of spots. They do give Kentucky a 51.4% winning probability for the game in 2 weeks, and, of course, that could change by the day.
And they're not favored by much this weekend against Mississippi State.
No, they're an underdog.
Yeah.
Really like a 3.5-point dog, which is really weird, but okay.
6-1 team against what is Mississippi State?
I don't know. Are they maybe 4-2, 3-3, something like that? Beat the hell out of Vandy the other day.
Well, anybody can do that. I could do that.
What's better for Tennessee, a Mississippi or a Kentucky win or a Kentucky loss this weekend?
I mean, you want them to win.
Don't want them angry?
No.
I don't give a damn whether they're angry or not. Why? It galls me. It's one thing to do this when you're talking about Georgia, Florida, or Alabama, but Kentucky?
Man, I wish they were undefeated. I would go up there and slap them around while they're undefeated, put them back in their place.
You feel confident of beating Kentucky, Bear?
Not because their quarterback's mobile, and we've got no linebackers.
He accounts for 25% of their rushing touchdowns this year with three.
I'll be very interested to get Terry Fair's thoughts on this tomorrow during T-Fair Tuesday presented by Craven Wings. But what does Tennessee do to fix this mobile quarterback problem? Have we ever had this much trouble stopping a mobile quarterback?
Are we even keeping anybody at the spy position?
I feel like
we did during Ole Miss, yeah, but just got buried. Jeremy Banks was spying Matt Corral the whole game, but he couldn't make he couldn't shed a block and he couldn't make a tackle.
There's a two-man spy you could do, but then you're just
leaves you vulnerable in other spots.
And we're not good enough, and we don't have the depth to cover those other spots.
I don't ever remember seeing a Tennessee defense have this much trouble. We've seen some bad Tennessee defenses through the years.
2012 was still worse.
We've never seen – yeah, but we still had good linebacker play. We had better linebackers in 2012.
I mean, in 2012, like, we couldn't stop anything. They would just run around. We couldn't send an edge. They just basically run around the side or hit us over the top. This year – The thing I like most about Tim Banks is the way his defense sells out to stop the run. And you just don't – I know Robinson had a nice game against Tennessee, but that's probably the most yardage we've given up to – definitely the most yardage we've given up to a running back. And we did get in the backfield a lot against Alabama. We generally –
tackle in the backfield very good.
Generally show up to stop the run. The pass coverage has been decent for the most part, but stopping a quarterback run is like kryptonite to Superman right now. Stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. It's Fan Run Radio.